Hello, my name is Tori Whitaker Martinez, and I'm the lead editor for Infection Control Today. And today we have Dr. Alexander Peters, who is the new CEO of Clean Hospitals there in Geneva, Switzerland. Thank you so much for joining me again.
Hi, Tori. It's so good to see you. I'm excited to be here.
Congratulations for
Thank you.
taking over Clean Hospitals. You have to be so excited.
Yeah, excited, and there's a lot of work to do, but I have a lot of support, and I'm really excited about who's come on board, and it's going really well.
Since you're taking over Clean Hospitals, what's going to change?
So we have a couple of changes lined up. So first of all, the board has changed. So now, as our members on the board, we have some of the best people in the world in healthcare environmental hygiene. We have Professor Brett Mitchell, Professor Stephanie Dancer, Professor Martin Kiernan, Professor David Weber, and Dr. Pierre Farnex, who are all on the board. And so that's really exciting because that's a lot of support and sort of a strong academic team and group. We are opening clean hospitals so that healthcare facilities can join us as well. We want to make it accessible, so we're not asking for sort of a high membership fee for healthcare facilities at all. And then if they don't have the money, we have a little bit of funding to help them out. So I mean, it depends on the country's income level as defined by the World Bank, and it's anywhere from 500 to 25 Swiss francs a year. So it's really accessible. And then we're going to have events for the healthcare facility so that it can be exchange on the subject of hygiene and healthcare, so environmental hygiene, hand hygiene, with a panel of experts, and so that they can talk about their challenges and exchange with each other and exchange with our experts and figure out how to best address the issues that they're having in their own facilities. And then, of course, we're also starting to collaborate a lot more with like-minded associations and groups, because I strongly believe that we can't be in our own silos, and it's a lot less effective when we have all these great little organizations or big organizations everywhere, but we're all kind of doing our own thing. So I'm really working to make sure that everyone's aware of what everyone else is doing and that we can align on things that are beneficial to everybody. So that's changing. We're having new working groups that are coming together. Those are the big changes.
Those are big changes.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
that's amazing. The powerhouse of knowledge that you're going to have is just mind-boggling. I had the benefit and privilege of meeting Dr. Weber not too long ago, interviewing with him, and he's just an incredible person.
Yeah, he's fabulous.
He is. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell me about ICPAC. What happened? What was that like? I'm so jealous. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, so we had about 1,000 people from about 100 different countries that attended. So there were some really good poster sessions, some really good talks, some really good meetings. We had our stakeholder meeting there as well at the university, and our dinner and things like that. So very busy and very fruitful. And it's always nice to have sort of a small, not small, small, but sort of like a human-sized conference. And with all the, top IPC people that were there, it was sort of every year there's sort of like a little bit of a theme. This year was really the theme of like how the world can move forward from what's happening in the US. So first of all, what was happening in the US in terms of, and the effect that that has on healthcare and infection prevention and control. And then like a bit about how the world can regroup and how we have to regroup, and not be reliant on what's coming just from the US government at the moment. So that was quite sobering, I think, as a subject for the year. But also it didn't feel like there wasn't hope. Even though that we know WHO is struggling, I mean, their infection prevention control team got much smaller. But it didn't feel hopeless at all. It felt like the people that were there, and also in part, like many of the people that came from the US specifically, were like very open to forging new partnerships and moving ahead and really trying to make this a global issue and advance on a global level. I mean, diseases don't stop at borders, and so infection preventionists can't either. Science shouldn't be political, right? Like it, but if the fact that science that and that you're doing science and that you're supporting science, if all of a sudden that is political, then I mean, let it be so, you know? And I feel like what's most important is that everyone on a personal level stands up for what the evidence-based recommendations are, what they know to be true and what they've studied to be true, and that, you know, my ignorance isn't as good as someone else's knowledge, you know, and there's that kind of rhetoric right now in the discourse in around science. I'm not going to say really in science, because 98% of the people doing the science all agree on most of the big issues anyway. So it's not really internal, it's more sort of how science, you know, presents to the outside world. And yeah, I think we have our work cut out for us.
Hopefully, this too will pass, and
I'm
eventually
sure
we'll
it will.
get back to a. I don't want to say get back to normal, because to say that we go back to what we had would defeat the purpose of going through this, because you and I both know that there are things that needed to be changed, that,
Absolutely.
you know, there are issues, but that
There's
doesn't
many
mean,
issues.
right, exactly, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to take this and run and make it better than it is. So on a very uplifting note, tell us about Clean Hospitals Day. It's always on October 20th. And tell us.
So Clean Hospitals Day is something that we started 5 or 6 years ago, and each year there's a theme. So this year's theme is human factors and collaboration. And we've developed a number of materials. They're in the final stages of translation, so I think we're going to have them available in 7 different languages. All these posters, social media tiles, screensavers, really highlighting the fact that environmental service workers are healthcare workers. Environmental service workers have to be integrated into the teams that provide patient care, or they're not able to do their part in patient care. And that each patient has a team of people behind them, and that we're only as strong as our weakest link. So those are the messages that we're putting out there this year. So there's a number of materials. They're available for free on the website. Everybody, you don't have to be a member of Clean Hospitals. You don't have to be involved in any other way. You can download them. You can celebrate in your own healthcare institutions. It's always a good idea to have events to celebrate personnel that are very often sort of marginalized and underpaid and underfunded and undertrained. And so I think the return on investment for healthcare institutions doing a little event around Clean Hospitals Day is usually very good. And we've had, it's been growing steadily every year, and we've had some great engagement from around the world. So I'm really looking forward to seeing who's celebrating this year, and yeah, and seeing how that goes. It's the first year that we've been able to offer the materials in all these different languages, and so we're hoping that that helps healthcare facilities appropriate the messages better around the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've interviewed people from all over the world who celebrate clean hospitals, and I will put the links to those interviews. And it amazes me that they all celebrate in such similar ways, though. You know, just some places have balloons, but regardless, they're all saying, "Hey, thank you. We appreciate you." You know, and it always makes my heart sing for that. But
No, me as well. And I mean, I think like we have the tendency to think that we have like rich country problems and poor country problems, and that they're completely separate. But if there's anything that I've learned from what our gathering of data and environmental hygiene programs, it's that the fact that there's issues in almost every healthcare facility, like big issues in almost every healthcare facility's environmental hygiene programs, isn't even necessarily dependent on their income level. And it's an issue that's widespread globally. I don't know a single healthcare facility that I've ever visited that has really just this phenomenal, perfect healthcare environmental hygiene programs where everything that's been implemented makes sense and is, progressive from a pedagogical standpoint, and where people are treated really well and they feel like they're part of a team, and there's this great communication and upward communication. And it's a little bit utopic, and some things cost more money than people are willing to invest, or healthcare facilities, I should say, are willing to invest. Also, because it's really difficult to show a return on investment when we're talking about avoided infections, when we're talking about a reduced length of stay, faster turnover for surgeries, things like that. It's much harder to quantify than, each time my robot does a surgery, I get X amount of dollars. So I think that more and more studies in environmental hygiene have been leaning toward doing economic assessments of their interventions, and that's extremely helpful. And everybody should be doing that if they're studying interventions in environmental hygiene. And in any case, there's more and more research coming out all the time of exactly how important it is in the chain of transmission. And of course, sequencing has been invaluable in being able to say, no, your disease comes from that sink, And so I think the time is right, and I see that the healthcare facilities are really excited. We've had ministries of health reach out saying that they're going to celebrate Clean Hospitals Day with us as well. And so that's been super cool, and we greatly appreciate everybody that gets involved and that does something, even like in a tiny way. And so, there's also a Weber teleclass that I'll be giving about human factors in environmental hygiene on the 7th of October, 2:30 European time, and then, or like Geneva time. And then I think there's a recording anyway, and it's available anyway for free. So if anyone's interested in that as well.
So, how do others get involved with Clean Hospitals?
So you can send us an email or a message through the website. So currently there's different types of relationships that we have with different types of groups. So there's the hospitals that can join us for those meetings and then have access to all of our what we call think tanks and scientific sessions, where experts come and speak about a certain topic in environmental hygiene. So they also have access to that. And then we have, of course, our stakeholders. So Clean Hospitals is exclusively funded through the help of industry sponsors, and we don't want to become a huge group. I think that we'll probably stop at about 50 companies, because what we expect from the companies that support us is also that they're not only do they have to have good products that are really, have strong evidence base behind them, but they have to be ethically aligned with what we're trying to do. And we prefer companies that are really active in promoting the importance of healthcare environmental hygiene, of hand hygiene, of just sort of the same ethical messages of a sort of equity in healthcare, of an international vision of things, that we can make things better together. That we shouldn't just look at the return on investment within 3 months, but really, if we raise the level everywhere, I think everyone wins, and especially even just from a market point of view. I mean, so many hospitals use so little, or they use really old technology, or they use the practices that have been replaced with better ones. And if practices change and they evolve and they get better, I think everybody wins at the end. The patients win, the healthcare workers win, the hospitals win, and industry will do just fine. So we're really looking for this really sort of special group of industry members. And we're so lucky because we have fabulous people in the group, and they're the ones that have been translating materials and doing meetings on Clean Hospitals Day and other working group meetings. And they're just every bit as passionate as the academic side of things. So that's been really wonderful to get to work with people like that as well, and really work on breaking those silos down between the academic side, the industry side, the healthcare side. And so, yeah, so we're very willing to work with those people, and also with other associations and other, or ministries of health or other organizations like that. Of course, it's just sort of a alignment. It's not sort of an official membership or anything, but it's, we can share them on our website. We can celebrate their activities with them and sort of have a symbiotic relationship with those kinds of institutions.
One thing, going back to what we were talking about earlier, pathogens don't stop. You said that. They don't know borders. And if we don't help each other, the US doesn't help Switzerland. Switzerland doesn't help France. If
Yeah.
France doesn't help England, whatever, then we're all gonna lose.
Yeah.
That's what you just
Yeah.
said. Because if it starts, if COVID showed us nothing else, China's not that far away,
Yeah.
and it's gonna get here. And that's something that I think that those of us who that are, and I consider myself now, a part of the IPC world, if we know that, now we've got to get that message out to everybody else. And that's something that Clean Hospitals has been so good at doing,
Oh,
and your
thanks.
message is continuing, and I am so happy for that. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been so lovely to talk to you.
You too. Always, always. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.